In an article introducing us to the scholar and theologian Origen, Mark Galli of Christianity Today says this: "We who by our prayers destroy all demons which stir up wars, violate oaths, and disturb the peace are of more help to the emperors than those who seem to be doing the fighting." This third century religious fanatic, as he is called, gave up his job, slept on the floor, ate no meat, drank no wine, fasted twice a week, owned no shoes, and reportedly castrated himself for the faith. He was also the most prolific scholar of his age, with hundreds of works to his credit, a first-rate Christian philosopher, and a profound student of the Bible. Child prodigy Origen Adamantius, which would be Man of Steel, was born near Alexandria about AD 185. The oldest of seven children in a Christian home, he grew up learning the Bible and the meaning of commitment. In 202, when his father, Leonidas, was beheaded for his Christian beliefs, Origen wanted to die as a martyr too, but his mother prevented him from even leaving the house by hiding his clothes. To support his family, the 18-year-old Origen opened a grammar school, copied texts, and instructed catechumens, that's those who were seeking to become members of the church. He himself studied under the pagan philosopher Ammonius Saccas in order to better defend his faith against pagan arguments. When a rich convert supplied him with secretaries, he began to write. One of the most powerful works was his book on prayer. I want to read parts of it and make some comments as we go along. Origen, in attempting to answer those who have said that if God is the one who has a plan for the universe and is all-powerful, then what good are our prayers? Origen writes this: "Again, I believe the words of prayers of the saints to be full of power above all when praying with the Spirit. They pray also with the understanding, which is like a light rising from the prayerful mind and proceeding from his lips to gradually weaken by the power of God the mental venom injected by the adverse powers into the intellect of such as neglect prayer and fail to keep that saying of Paul's in accordance with the exhortations of Jesus, pray without ceasing. For it is as if a dart from the soul of the one who prays, sped by the knowledge and the reason or of by faith, proceeds from the saint and wounds to their destruction and dissolution the spirits adverse to God and desirous of casting round us the bonds of sin." Origen is telling us that in his view of prayer, it is the power of prayer that is like a spear to destroy the evil spirits, the demons, who are intent on making us think that our sin has bound us to such an extent that God could not possibly care for us or do anything about our situation. So he is saying that our prayers are how we engage in the spiritual warfare that is necessary for us to be able to stand in the day of trial. Origen continues: "Now, since the performance of actions enjoined by virtue or by the commandments is also a constituent part of prayer, he prays without ceasing who combines prayer with right actions and becoming actions with prayer. For the saying, pray without ceasing, can only be accepted by us as a possibility if we may speak of the whole life of a saint as one great continuous prayer. I myself have had people ask me over and over again, how can Paul tell us to pray without ceasing? Does he really think that we do not have to eat or work or sleep?" Origen points us to a proper understanding of that concept to the Apostle Paul when he says, "When you pray and you seek to live by the virtue which God calls us to live, and when you pray and you obey the commandments of God, you are praying without ceasing." The whole life of a follower of Jesus is to be a life of prayer, so that our actions and our words, our thoughts and our attitudes, our inclinations and our energies are all to be focused on living as God desires of us. That, says Origen, is prayer without ceasing. And that, to me, is a wonderful way to see our lives as a force for God and His kingdom in our world. Origen goes on. If Jesus prays and does not pray in vain, if he obtains his requests through prayer, and it maybe would not have received them without prayer, who of us is to neglect prayer? Mark tells us that in the morning, long before daybreak, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place, and there he prayed. Luke says, and it came to pass, as he was at prayer in a certain place, that one of his disciples said to him when he ceased, and elsewhere, "Teach us to pray." He passed the night in prayer to God. John records a prayer of him in these words. This may be one of the most significant of the reasons as to why we should pray. Jesus did, in fact, as we read the Gospels, one of the most obvious things of the life of Jesus that he and his Father communicated in prayer. Jesus prayed, and so should we. If we want to be like Jesus, we do well, as the disciples are reported to have done, ask Jesus to teach us to pray. And so we head back to Martin Galley's article about Origen. This first Bible scholar analyzed the scriptures on three levels, the literal, the moral, and the allegorical. As he put it, "For just as man consists of body, soul, and spirit, so in the same way does the scripture." Origen, in fact, preferred the allegorical not only because it allowed for more spiritual interpretations, but many passages he found to be impossible to read literally. He gives a for example. Now, what man of intelligence will believe that the first and the second and the third day existed without the sun and the moon and the stars? In any event, Origen's method of interpretation became the standard in the Middle Ages. Origen's main work on first principles was the first systematic exposition of Christian theology ever written. In it, he created a Christian philosophy, synthesizing Greek technique and biblical assumptions. Add to these massive works his homilies and commentaries, and it's clear why he was reputed to have kept seven secretaries busy and caused Jerome in the years 354 to 400 to say in frustrated admiration, "Has anyone read everything that Origen wrote?" Origen has always been controversial. His reported self-mutilation in response to Matthew 19, verse 12, "There are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom," was condemned as a drastic misinterpretation of the text. In Palestine, he preached without being ordained, and so was condemned by his bishop, Demetrius. And when on a second trip, he was ordained by the same bishops who had invited him to speak the first time, Demetrius sent him into exile. Well, some of his writings are thought to have been hypothetical. Origen did teach that all spirits were created equal, existed before birth, and then fell from grace. Furthermore, these rational beings who sinned and on account fell from the state in which they were, in proportion to their particular sins, were enslaved in bodies as punishment, some demons, some men, and some angels. He also believed that all spirits, even Satan, could be saved. "The power of choosing between good and evil is within the reach of all," he wrote. 3 centuries after his death, the Council of Constantinople, which took place in 553, pronounced him a heretic. "Whoever says or thinks that the punishment of demons and the wicked will not be eternal, let him be anathema." And they were thinking particularly of Origen. Some contend that Origen was merely trying to frame the faith in the ideas of his day. Still, his works were suppressed following his condemnation, so modern judgment is impossible. Despite such condemnation, Origen said, "I want to be a man of the church, to be called a follower of Christ." His book, Against Celsus, in fact, is one of the finest defenses of Christianity produced in the early church. Answering the charge that Christians, by refusing military service, fail the test of good citizenship, he wrote, "We who by our prayers destroy all demons which stir up wars, violate oaths, and disturb the peace, are of more help to the emperors than those who seem to be doing the fighting." So, Origen is one of the most influential teachers to address the church in the early part of the 3rd century. We give thanks for people like him who fearlessly challenged the rulers of his day in the name of Jesus.